So today is Remembrance Day, and it's a day to remember what others have done for us and a day to remember what God has done for us. But it's also, as I go further into my talk, it's also a day to remember to forget, because sometimes we need to forget the wounds of the past and move on from them. So my first scripture is Psalm 103 and verse 7, where it says, "Bless, gratefully praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not one of all his benefits." So we're meant to gratefully praise God for all he's done for us. Sometimes when we come into God's presence, we do an awful lot of complaining. Why have you not done this, God? And I've fed up with that, God. But we need to start off by gratefully praising him. Don't forget even one thing. Remember all of the benefits. If you were to look back over your life and see all of the doors God's opened, all of the provision that he's given to us, today we should remember the goodness of God in our lives, because God always remembers us. So for no other reason than that, we need to remember him. Isaiah 49 and verse 15 says this: "Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yes, they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Behold, I have indelibly imprinted, tattooed a picture of you on the palm of each of my hands. O Zion, your walls are continually before me." We're continually in front of God. The church is continually in front of him. This says it's almost impossible for a mother to forget her child. And we've got a friend, and she's worked in America several times now in prisons where people have been given a life sentence. And in those prisons, a life sentence is a life sentence. It's not 25 or 30 years. Those people are in there for the entirety of their lives and may have been in there from the age of 21. So that prison becomes their life. And she was talking to the prison warden of these prisons about the hardships that these people will face. And he told her that, you know, when a prisoner first comes into his prison, they'll get a few visitors, maybe the family, brothers, sisters, friends. Some people will come and visit. But over the years, if they're there for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, the visitors drop off because some people have moved miles away. Some people have passed away. And he said the last person to stop visiting is the mother. The mother is there. She's there to visit her child, no matter what they've done. But God is saying in the scripture, even if that happens and the mother forgets, and our mother forgets us, God will never forget. He's even almost tattooed a picture of us, printed us on the palm of his hands. And the reason they've used the word tattoo here in translation is because it's permanent. It's permanent ink. The picture of us before God is absolutely permanent. It will never go out of his vision. We will always be there. He has our picture right in front of him. He will never forget. You know, they build war memorials and they write on them, "Lest we forget." Well, God has our picture on his hands, so he will never forget us. We had a friend once back in Australia. She was a single mom with 5 children. So really, really busy from about 1 year of age to 12 years of age. She had 5 children. So this woman was really quite stressed. So she told us this story. One day, she had a minivan for all the kids, you know. She couldn't just fit them all in the car. So she opened the door of the minivan, piled the kids in, shut the door, and drove into town. And she was about 10 minutes out of town on a wee country road. So she drove into town, got to the shopping centre, opened the door, got the kids out, but there was only 4. So she had to put the kids back in the van, slam the door shut, drive back out to the property, and she'd left the baby in the cot. But the baby knew nothing about it. It was sound asleep, so having its wee afternoon nap, and she obviously panicked at the time because, like, I've left the baby on its own. Anything could happen to it. But she could laugh about it later on. But being forgotten is very real, and it's very painful, and it's not actually a laughing matter if it happens to us. So if someone has forgotten you, then I want to say today, shame on them. Because God will never forget you. You're his creation. You're his child. And he will never forget you. To God, you are unforgettable. forgettable. Turn to someone today and say, you're unforgettable. Okay, you're unforgettable. Let's look at Luke 23 and verse 42. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Folks, this was the thief on the cross. He was being crucified for being a sinner, for being a criminal. He was given this death sentence. And he was asking Jesus, this sinner, this criminal, this prisoner, was asking Jesus, remember me. And Jesus replies, I won't forget. Today, you're going to be with me. This man didn't have much to offer. He'd never tithed. He'd probably never been to church, or certainly not recently. His career opportunities were very limited. His future prospects weren't great either. He probably felt forgotten. I don't know if his family were at the foot of his cross. I don't know if his mother was crying over him or if she was at home drenched in shame. I don't know if he was just on that cross all alone, forgotten, but he wasn't. Jesus hadn't forgotten him. Even in that last state of life, he wasn't forgotten. So even if we feel forgotten, it's not true, because Jesus is saying, I will remember you. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I will remember you. I will never forget. You know, our daughter bought a badge one poppy season, and on the badge it says, all gave some, some gave all. You know, we might give something to Jesus. We might give him some of our time on a Sunday. We might give him some of our talent. We might give him some of our tithe. We might give him some praise and worship if we're in a good mood and there's a good song on. But Jesus gave his all for us. He sacrificed everything he had, and he gave it up for you and for me, and he wants us to remember that. Especially when the enemy is the one who comes whispering that God doesn't love you and God's not going to do that for you and God's not going to give you your heart's desire. He will remember us. Let's look at Luke 22 and verse 19. And he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. That's an amazing act of remembrance. Because Jesus knows that in the busyness of the day and in the busyness of life, it's easy to forget we're on the victory side. He's already won the victory for us. We're not coming from a place of, oh God, forgive me. Oh God, please love me. Oh God, I'm the worst thing that ever crawled up a church corridor. We're not coming from that place. We're coming from, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We're coming from that place. We're coming from the place of the greatest event in all of history. That the Son of God gave his life as a sacrifice for mankind. That's us. We live under a new covenant, and it's a covenant of unending love and amazing grace. That's what God's got for us. And that's worth remembering. Because I spent years when I was younger feeling unworthy. If I did something wrong, it took me days to crawl back into God's presence. Days to think, oh, maybe God's forgiven me now. I had no revelation of grace. I had no revelation of the love of God. So we preach a lot of grace because it's taken me a lot of years to get that revelation. It's taken me maybe 30 years to get that revelation of grace. And I did have to sit down and say, God, I want you to teach me about grace and show me how much grace you've got for me, that I am forgiven. And even if I still do things wrong, God still loves me. He doesn't change his mind. It used to take me days to forgive myself. Folks, we must get quicker at forgiving ourselves because God's already forgiven us. The only one holding on to unforgiveness is us. We're the ones not forgiving ourselves. You know, one day I asked God for a revelation of this new covenant. This was years ago. And God just gave me this vision. It's never left me. It's so powerful. And I'm just standing here in this vision. I'm looking out, and over here is this tree. It's a lovely little neat tree, little sort of rounded tree, and it's just there. is absolutely covered in filthy rags. It's covered. You know, like one of these shrines that you see. You can hardly see the tree. All these rags are hanging off it, and they're like oil-stained and dirt-stained and blood-stained, and they're absolutely filthy, and they're hanging off the tree. And I thought, all right, okay, I can see that. Then all of a sudden, my head turned to the other side of the vision where there was an empty wooden cross. So the cross is there, and it's completely empty. Then someone stepped in from behind me, and so all I could see was their arm reaching in the back of them. And they stepped in from behind me, and they went over to the tree, and they took a rag off the tree, and they went over and they put it on the cross. And then they went back to the tree, and they took another rag off the tree, and they went over and they put it on the cross. And I never ever saw them from the front, but I knew it was the Lord. And they just continued to take every bit of unrighteousness and every filthy rag off this tree, and they put it on the cross. And the tree was left completely free and beautiful and complete. So stop carrying the filthy rag of unforgiveness, the filthy rag of you're not beautiful enough, the filthy rag of you're not spiritual enough, the filthy rag of every lie of the enemy, because Jesus took it all on the cross. And if we carry it around, we've gone over to the cross and taken it back. That's not the will of God. That's not the new covenant. That's not unending love and amazing grace. So God gave me that vision, and I hope it encourages you as well. And then I got this scripture immediately after it, Romans 8, verse 1. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Not even a tiny little bit. You're not allowed to carry condemnation around. It's not from God, so why would you? So if we're in Christ, we're not condemned. If we don't remember anything else today, remember this fact that no matter what you've done, God doesn't remember your sin. We might have to face the consequences of it, but if we're in Christ and we're under the blood, God doesn't remember our sins. He remembers his grace, grace, and more grace. Because that's what he is. He's the God of amazing grace. This is another amazing story. I know I've shared it before, but it's so worth sharing, and it's a true story. That there was a family, and they had an older teenage daughter, which maybe about 18, 19, and there was a huge disagreement, and she left home. So she left home, and the parents, the mother and the father, were absolutely distraught. But the family practice had been, when the children are out late, the dad would put the porch light on so the children could come home and they could see their way home. Even if, you know, they're coming home from their friends at midnight, 11 o'clock at night, you know, your older teenagers and young 20-year-olds, the porch light was always on. So this father continued to put the porch light on every night because she hadn't come home yet. So he did it for 1 year. And he did it for 2 years. And he did it for 3 years. And in all of this time, when he was putting that porch light on, sometimes, they didn't know it, but sometimes their daughter would be standing in the shadows. She'd be standing behind a tree or a car or something, and she'd watch the porch light go on. And she knew that when that light was on, they were waiting for her. And they were wanting her to come home. So the father put the porch light on for 4 years. And he put the porch light on for 5 years because he was her father and he never forgot. And guess what? One night she came home because the light was on for her. Good parents never forget their children. They're always waiting for them to return and come home. But there is one thing that God chooses not to to remember, and it's in Psalm 103 and verse 12. For as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Our sins are removed completely. It's the one thing that God doesn't remember. You know, we're coming to him and saying, I'm sorry for what I did on Monday, and God's going, what are you talking about, woman? I can't even remember it. Hebrews 10:17 says, their sins and lawless acts, I will remember no more. It's very, very clear. It's very, very plain that God's not remembering them. He's not even swept them under the carpet. He's removed them as far as the east is from the west. The east and the west can never meet. They'll continue to keep going east and west. And he's removed them that far. When God looks at us, he only sees Jesus. We're covered by the blood of his son. It is so powerful. It's so amazingly powerful, the price that Jesus paid. And if we can't get a revelation on it and we can't believe it, then we're making it less powerful than it actually is. So here's my revelation from that today. God doesn't remember what we did. He remembers what Jesus did. He remembers the sacrifice that we're covered with. So if God chooses to forget our sins, perhaps it's time that we forgot them. Folks, sometimes we must remember to forget. I'm just going to give a wee recap of a story about Joseph. So Joseph is in prison, and he's asked to interpret the dreams of the baker and the butler. And he does that extremely accurately. He's right, hits the nail on the head. And once he's interpreted their dreams, he says, oh, please don't forget me. Don't forget me. Because while I'm doing okay in prison, I'm still in prison and I would like out of here. So the scriptures in Genesis 40 and verse 14, and Joseph speaking, and he says, but when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. But they don't remember Joseph. They forget all about him. And Joseph is stuck in prison for several more years. He's forgotten and feeling that no one remembers him. But God. But God. So people can forget us, but God doesn't. Here's what God did for Joseph. And it's in Genesis 41, verse 41. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand, and he put it on Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in official vestments of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. Joseph had not been forgotten by God. He was in the prison. And then all of a sudden, God does everything for him that he promised. Everything, all the dreams that he gave him when he was about 18 years of age, he gives him everything that he'd promised. And the whole land of Egypt bowed down to him, and including Pharaoh, really, and all of his family and all of his brothers, they all bowed down to Joseph because he's been given this position of just one below Pharaoh in the whole land of Egypt. Joseph had been forgotten by man, but he was not forgotten by God. So no matter what the circumstances are telling you, no matter what you're looking at that says God's forgotten, he has not. He's got your heart's desires and your dreams in that treasure chest in your attic, that prophetic word we had earlier, and he wants to perform them. At the right time, Joseph was freed, and he was not only released, but he was promoted. Why? Because God remembered him. Folks, it doesn't matter who forgets us because God remembers us. It looked like Joseph had lost everything. And in the natural, he had lost everything. Everything that is, except God. Let's have a look at a quote by Winston Churchill, and it says this. To build may have to be the slow and laborious task of years. To destroy can be the thoughtless act of a single day. You know, that people are building cities. They're building cities for decades, and along comes a bomb or a missile, and it's gone. We've seen whole countries almost annihilated in recent months. And something that we've spent years building can fall to pieces in one day. Whether it's a marriage, a relationship, a career, our finances, or our health, with one email, one text, one conversation, everything can just fall apart. Even years later, the memories we have of past hurts can overwhelm us at times. And today, God's also saying, try not to remember all of those negative things and all of the bad stuff. Instead, ask God to help you forget. Ask God to heal. So all of these things that maybe devastated us, that rocked our world, that just came out of the blue, you know, the curveballs, and it just pulls the rug out from under our feet. We've had a few of those in our lifetime. God's saying, try not to remember them. Give them to me. You can trust me with them. It says in Exodus 15, verse 26, I am the Lord that heals you. The Hebrew for that is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. It's one of the names that God gives himself. No one else is saying, oh, he's a great God, let's call him the great God. God's saying, this is my name. You can call me this. You can call me Jehovah Rapha. This is who I am and this is what I do. And that word means to heal, to cure, and to mend. So God is revealing himself as our healer. He wants us to know that he wants to heal, cure, and mend what got broken. Mend the situation that's been blown apart out of the water. You know, someone comes along and a grenade is really small. You can hold it in your hand and the only thing, you can hold it there forever. It won't do you any harm. You take that one little pin out and you've got trouble. So one little thing can just explode problems into our lives. But God is saying, trust me. Trust me, I want to heal you. He wants us to know that he wants to heal and cure everything that's been broken. So here's my question. What do we have that's broken? Do we have a broken relationship? Do we have a broken heart? Do we have a broken life? Is it our finances that are stressing us out? What is it? Try and hand it over once and for all to the God who's asking to heal us. Saying, please let me be your Jehovah Rapha. So here's another revelation. Remembering our past can also stop us from entering our future, especially if the past needs healed. It can make us feel like losers when Jesus died to make us winners. We're overcomers, the Bible says. We're on the victory side, but sometimes we're not remembering that. I read this quote in my daily reading. A winner is simply someone who gets back up one more time than they fall down. So it doesn't say winners don't fall down. It says, if they do, they don't stay down. So if something's knocked you down this week or this year, don't stay down because you're a winner and you're on the winning side. No matter who knocks us down or how often or how painful it is, remember to get back up. Shake it off and come out of your corner fighting. I'm not going to burst into song there. Shake it off, you know. But come out your corner fighting. Come out remembering that God is with us and God is for us. And if God is with us and God is for us, what does it matter who's against us? It doesn't matter. We'll keep going forward in God. Now, we just read that scripture there a few minutes ago, Exodus 15, 26, where it said, I am the Lord that heals you. Here is the very next verse in the Bible. So he's just said, I'm Jehovah Rapha, I can heal you, I'm the answer to all your problems. Here's the next verse, Exodus 15 and verse 27. And they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. This is where our church name comes from. It was an oasis in the middle of the desert, when the children of Israel, so about 3 million people are traveling through the desert, there's got no water and no food, and they come to Elim. They come to Elim, and God meets their needs in a desert at an oasis called Elim. He remembered them. He provided for them. Jehovah Rapha, he made the way. And we're here today at this Elim, and God remembers our needs, and he remembers that we are here today. He still provides springs of water, but this time it's living water. And God wants to quench every spiritual thirst we have and meet every need and heal us. Because God's not forgotten us. And that's worth remembering.